Now, if you can find Ezekiel or Hosea, it's right in the middle of those two books, okay? In the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. Be reading chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Before we get to verse 10, the high officials went to Daenerys and Darius and said, we need to make a new creed. We got one of the administrators who was Daniel that wasn't abiding by their rules. So they wanted to make a ultimate Mede and the Persian ruling that, and even that the king could not change himself, so that Daniel and those who believed in God would have to abide by the Medes and the Persians rule and creed. So that kind of brings us up to verse 10, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, which says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house, now in his roof chamber. He had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplications before his God. Do you notice it says his God? Yeah, Daniel's God. And then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered in and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judea, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making petitions three times a day. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed. Why was he distressed? Because he was friends with Daniel. And he set his mind on delivering Daniel, and even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and Daniel and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. You hear those words? Even the king, Darius, he knew that Daniel would be delivered. You know, even Daniel made an impact upon the king, didn't he? Not only him or Nebuchadnezzar and then Cyrus, the foreign king after Darius, Daniel. See, it makes a difference when you, as a Christian, take a stand on your convictions. It makes a difference to those around you, even kings or high authorities, because he knew Daniel trusted in his God. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace, and he spent the night fasting. That's what Christians do. We fast, don't we? When we've got an important decision. And no entertainment was brought before him, and he slept, and his sleep fled from him. That means he couldn't get any sleep. He was very worried and concerned about Daniel. Then verse 19, then the king arose at dawn at the break of the day and went in haste to the lion's den. And when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. Can you hear that troubled voice? When you're troubled, you call out. The king spoke, and Daniel said, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him and also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders to Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. The king then gave orders, and they brought it, those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the den, lion's den, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. Darius, the king, wrote to all the people's nation and men of every language who were living in that land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominions of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. Oh, that's good reading, isn't it? Living by your convictions. Dr. Madison Starrett was a professor of Vanderbilt University, and he taught mathematics. And before each test, he would challenge the students. He would say, there's two examinations you would be looking at today. He said the first one would be examination on trigonometry. The other examination is going to be on honesty. He said, I hope you will pass both of those. But if you're going to fail any of the two, I would rather you fail trigonometry. No good man cannot pass, you know, trigonometry. No good person has ever not passed being honest. So there's a lesson in that for us. When we think about our conviction, you see, living by conviction is a belief that is considered true and worthy of standing upon regardless of the consequences. See, however, because there are no real standards these days, you look around and you think, what are the standards of the world? The standards of the world are pretty low. But in comparison with the Word of God, God sets high standards, doesn't he? And in Daniel's day, you know, you think about Daniel, he was raised from a child on the Word of God. And he lived that throughout his life. At this point in time in Daniel's life, he was roughly 90 years old. You think about it, 90 years old. And still trusting in God with his life. With all the circumstances that he faced, he still trusted God. So Daniel, he's a perfect example of a man who lived according to his strong scriptural conviction. See, he was willing to stand for his convictions, even when doing so could have cost him his life. You see, Daniel was a foreigner to Babylon, and he influenced all the kings because a person of great authority. See, he became a person of great authority. The kings trusted him. And every one of them knew that he had certain convictions about him. Even Darius, he said, you know, I know that your God will deliver you. But he went back to his palace where he abode, and he didn't have any entertainment. He didn't have anybody to come in and entertain him because he was concerned about Daniel, because he cared about Daniel. But Daniel, you know, he was put in the lion's den because of his convictions. You know, all through his life, he was confronted with decisions that he had to make concerning his life, concerning others, and so forth like that. And there are times in our lives we have to make decisions based on our convictions, whether they're right or they're wrong. And then when we stand on the Word of God, then we know the Holy Spirit is going to give us the right discernment to make right decisions. And whether life or death, Daniel was ready to stand on his convictions. And this message today is living by our convictions. You know, you may have been brought up in a church at an early age as a baby. You might have met the Lord somewhere in the middle of your life, or as a teenager, or as a senior citizen, older in your life. And you're still establishing those standards in your life. It is so wonderful. You know, like last week when I was at camp, a lot of those kids that came forward and made decisions, a lot of them do not even have a standard or know what a standard is, because many of them had questions about the Word of God. What does this mean? One little boy came up and said, "What does reverence mean? What does reverence mean?" And I told the little boy, that is loving God, respecting Him, and recognizing who He is. He's all holy. He's righteous. God is all powerful. He's sovereign. And I broke it down to real simple terms that we are to acknowledge God to who He is. That's reverence to God. So you see, so we teach children at an early age to what convictions are. You see, convictions come from within our heart. It's just not something we dream up or think about. It's on the surface, because sometimes if we do that, then we're going to do something that we prefer to doing over conviction. And see, Daniel, he made decisions based on convictions. And there are a lot of things that we've got to think about today in this society of low standards in our world today, that we've got to go back to the Word of God says to see what God's Word says. Now, it's not always clear cut, is it? It doesn't always spell out exactly sometimes what we're thinking of, what we want to make the decision on. But the Word of God has enough information for us to be able to discern right from good. Would you agree with that this morning? He gives us enough information, the Word of God does. Daniel knew it did, because Daniel would say, "I ask God, and He discerns to me what is right and wrong." Even their dietary food they ate, Daniel knew that God required standards for the Israelites, the Hebrews, and he would not veer off of that. And now Daniel is in a situation where he is praying three times a day to the Almighty God. And see, the other team members, you want to call them, didn't like it, because they felt like he was getting more attention than them. So they wanted to get rid of Daniel. They wanted the king to put him in the lion's den, which that's where he ended up. And they, well, we get him in the lion's den, and they were, the lion will consume him. Charles Spurgeon said, you know, he could see Daniel in the lion's den, and probably when the Bible said that the angel, they shut the lion's mouth, he probably used one of them for a pillow. I can see that, can't you? Because they were still in there with him when they let Daniel out. So you see how God works in our life. If we trust him, you see, Daniel trusted God with his life. And when he based his decisions on the Word of God, trusting God with his life, God took care of him. And with anything in our life, God will sustain us if we will trust him. To successfully resist temptation to compromise our standard, we need to follow, you know, Daniel's godly example to see how he did it. See, he stood up for his conviction when he was a teenager. See, early in life, Daniel made up his mind to live as Hebrew and keep the laws of Moses. That's what he knew, that's what he was taught, and that's what he was willing to do. See, he was convinced that he should be a godly example to others. And you know, you and I today, we have an opportunity to be an example to other people. Other Christians, people who are not in church, people who we work with or who you work with. I mean, the children think this is where I live, here at the church. All the preschool children, they think I live in the children. Good news, they think I live here at the church because this is what I do. They may probably look at me as a priest or a bishop or something, and that's where you live. But when you are out in the workplace or the marketplace, or where do you work? So you have an example to be able to make an impact on other people's lives. And you see, Daniel lived such a godly life based on his convictions on the Word of God and his God that it influenced the rise. We should have such an influence in the places that we go, the people we know, that we will make an impact, such an impact that it will draw people to God. And when we draw people to God, you see, it blesses our life. And we understand that, you know, through a weak vessel as we can be sometimes, God could even use you, right? He can even use me. So Daniel was an influence and example to other people as well. See, he knew God would hear and answer his prayer. See, that's why Daniel had the boldness to hold firm to his convictions and risk requesting a different diet and keeping him safe in the lion's den. There's a story of a persecuted Christian who was being chased by soldiers under the orders to put him to death. And he ran and he was trying to find cover. And he found this cave. And as he entered it, he moved as far to the back of it as he could to get out of the sight of the soldiers who was looking for him. And he began to pray, God, spare me, protect me, keep me safe. And as he was sitting there, he noticed a spider on the entrance of the cave in which he entered. And he was there for quite a while, and he was waiting and listening to see if the soldiers were approaching. And that spider, as the story goes, began to weave its web back and forth across that entrance. As the soldiers approached, he could hear them. And he was getting ready to defend himself. Well, all of a sudden, one of the soldiers came up to the entrance of the cave, and he did an evaluation. And he saw that web and so forth, and he commanded the other soldiers. He said, well, he couldn't have entered here because if he had of, the web would be broken on the entrance of this cave. So he says, there's no one here. Let's go on. Well, you see, as he thought about that, he was thinking in his mind, you know, I pray to God to protect me, save me, and keep me safe. I didn't ask him to send me a spider. That's what he was thinking. But then after it was all over, he realized that God provided that to save him. You see, sometimes we pray, we ask God to help us in certain areas, but then we pray with a weak faith sometimes, don't we? Well, God, that's not exactly what I was asking for. This is what I was thinking in my mind. Well, God oftentimes would say, you know, it really doesn't matter what you're thinking. I know what's best for you. And Daniel knew what was always best when he went to the Lord because he trusted him with all of his life. He was ready to accept any consequences that came his way, but he knew that it would be at God's best interest. And when we look at God's best interest, we're okay. We don't have to worry about the circumstances in our life when we trust God with our life. See, Daniel was compelled to stand firm. Now, I want to give you some reasons why he was willing to stand firm. He was taught by his parents. Now, parents, if you want your children to grow up with conviction, you got to teach them, right? They're not always going to get it outside of the home. You know, the schools do a good job. As much as they're allowed to do with your kids. And I'm so thankful for our schools here in Ripley County that we have the initiative and we have the capability of teaching some godly values to our children. All cities and all towns and all states doesn't give that freedom. But it all starts at home, reading and teaching our children godly values, godly principles. And you see, if you want your child to grow up be like Daniel, you start them young. For the last night or so, I've been reading to Jameson. I read to him until he went to sleep the other night. I read four books then I came before he went to sleep. But isn't that wonderful? I mean, that you can read to a child and it's till they go to sleep. Well, you might think, well, at that age, 3 months old or 6 months old or a year old, they're not going to comprehend all of that. Yeah, they do. You keep doing it day after day after day. And when they're 1 year, 2 years, 3 years old, you see, it's already setting a grid system in their minds, and eventually it's going to wind up here in the heart, and they're going to say, you know, I need to keep doing this. I'm going to keep doing this. And see, that's what Daniel did. He kept on doing what he knew he was supposed to do and was taught to do, and they in such a way that it took root in his heart, and he said, you know, there's got to be something about this, serving a living God. And you see, it made an example on the rise and others. And see, the others, they knew it, but they wouldn't accept it. They rejected Daniel's God, and they end up dying themselves. Not only did they die, but their wives died, and their children died. See, God, the battle belongs to the Lord in this life, you know? It's not our battle. Whatever battles we are confronted with, bad habits, relationships, whatever it is, you know, we come to our wits' ends, and we don't know what to do about it, we don't know how to fix it, and you see, we have physical limitations. How many have physical limitations here this morning? We all do, don't we? You know how you know you have physical limitations? You have aches and pains, don't you? You get up and go, don't get up and go anymore, does it? Sometimes it gets up and it's gone. So there's limitations. We have that in our life. But see, there's no limitation. See, we often think of impossibilities. We can't do this. And God says, I know you can't. That's what Jesus told the disciples. I know that you can't do all of these signs and wonders and miracles that you did yesterday, but if you pray about it today, you will do it. If you abide with me and stay in my presence and study the Word of God and apply it. You know, sometimes we think, well, how can in the world can I do some of the things or pray about these things and know that I can trust God? Well, you can write them down. If there's something, God brings something to your mind or something comes to your mind that it seems to be in the lion's den, or it could be a Goliath or a giant in your life, you write it down. You say, Lord, this is a big area of my life that I need to do something about. And God will say, well, turn it over to me. So you write it down. You write down those areas. It's like keeping a journal. It's like writing a grocery list. You write it down. And when you write it down, you'll see, okay, this is what I need to deal with. This is in my lion's den. I'm going to trust God with it. I'm going to turn it over to Him. And you see, the more we turn over to the Lord of our life, the more that the Holy Spirit gets of our life, the more He can do through our life. That increases our convictions to live for Him. You see, God intervenes in people's lives and delivers those who trust Him. See, He works by miraculous power, signs and wonders. If you go back to chapter 4, there's an evidence of how God worked through Daniel through signs and wonders to perform His will for your life. See, if you will let it, but you got to let it. See, godly character is a quality that is worth far more than anything that you could gain or lose by compromising your biblical-based convictions. See, if you want to become a person of God, you can't afford to give in to fear of criticism, rejection, failures. See, one strong, uncompromising, obedient child of God is a powerhouse of influence who, like Daniel, can impact a nation. You see, Daniel impacted a nation. Who else impacted this world? Just not a nation, but the world. It was Jesus Christ. He impacted this world because He was willing, by the power of the Father Almighty in heaven, who sent Him on earth to die for our sins. He wasn't willing to defend Himself against His accusers, went to the cross, died for our sins. You see, He impacted the world. He changed lives. He's changing lives today. If we will let Him do it, He will change this whole world and many nations to come. Even though there's conflict in the world today, you can have an impact on people like Daniel. So throughout Scripture, we learn that the temptations and the trials of life are to be responded to, not by running from them, or trying to avoid them, or trying to meet them in the power of your own abilities, but by drawing near to God in faith. See, Daniel, he didn't know what he would experience in the lion's den, but he knew God would be there with him, and he put his trust in God. A grandfather was out walking with his grandson one day. "How far do you think we are from home?" he asked the grandson. His grandson said, "I don't know." Grandfather asked, "Well, where are you?" Grandson said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, then I guess you're lost, aren't you, grandson?" Grandson looked at his grandfather and he says, "No, I don't know where I am. I know how far I am from home. I know I'm not lost." And his grandfather said, "Why? Why do you say that?" He said, "Because I'm with you." See, he knew the grandfather knew how far it was from the house. He knew he wasn't lost because he knew he was in good hands. See, we can drift. We can, you know, lose our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord. We can drift in such a way that we feel like that we're off in a never-never land. But when it comes down to it, when we look up to the Heavenly Father, We know that we're not lost, because we're with Him. We are a child of God. Philip Bliss, he wrote many songs and hymns, one of which is titled, Dare to Be a Daniel. Bliss, like many other Christian leaders, realized the unusual potential of teaching youth spiritual truths and through appropriate songs. And here is the refrain to Dare to Be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. May God help each one of us to be a Daniel with convictions, living by our convictions. You see, doesn't matter what kind of situation we're in, we find ourselves in, if we're willing to trust God and stand by our convictions, He'll work it out on our behalf. Amen? Amen. May we pray. Father God, we thank You for Your insights that You give us when danger comes or when circumstances surround us, when we're confronted with trials or sufferings or pain or sickness. Lord, we know who we can trust. We know we can trust You with our life. We know we can come to You for anything, and You will help us. You will give us wisdom, discernment. You'll give us the desire to not give up or turn back. Your grace and Your mercy is always sufficient. And I pray this morning that whoever is here and needs Your special touch, Lord, You can change our ways. You can change the way that we think. And You can turn us into something much better than we can even imagine, if we're willing to follow You. So Lord, may this invitation, trust and obey, be an example to our lives that we need to trust You even more each day, because we are nothing without You, but nothing is impossible with You when we yield our life to You and trust You with our life. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for what You're going to do in this invitation in our lives today. And Lord, we just praise You. And thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who's willing to die for our sins to give us salvation, to give us an eternal home one of these days. We thank You. In His name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is 349.